morning and welcome to this family service on Sunday the 12th of July. My name is Natasha and I'm the vicar of Stoke Poges Church. We are now worshipping online and in person across our two sites with shortened services at St Giles and St Andrews. So if you are able to join us in person, do check the website first for the current service times. For as we emerge from lockdown, we are working out what our new normal is. So bear with us as we prayerfully consider the best way forward for all to worship God with gladness and come into his presence and sing his praises. Let's begin now, shall we, with an opening prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we might not be sitting by a lake today. However, as the crowds eagerly gathered to listen to the stories and truths you told them, we too await your word to us. With joy in our hearts and anticipation, we pray that you will give us listening ears and hearts open to receive your love, your teaching and your wisdom. Help our lives to be full to bursting, bearing your fruit. Amen. Now, let us have a time of worship with our specially curated songs this week, organised prayerfully by Heather.
Morning, everyone. We've got a folksy protest song kind of feel to our first two songs this morning. The first one is By Faith, followed by Just One Touch from the King. Hope you enjoy these.
We see the hand of God in the light of creation's grand design, in the lives of those who prove his faithfulness, who walk by faith and not by sight. By faith our fathers roamed the earth with the power of his promise in their hearts, of a holy city built by God's own hand, a place where peace and justice reign. We will stand as children of the promise. We will fix our eyes on him, our soul's reward, till the race is finished and the work is done. We'll walk by faith and not by sight. Faith the prophet saw a day when the longed for Messiah would appear with the power to break the chains of sin and death and rise triumphant from the grave. By faith the church was called to go in the power the Spirit to the lost, to deliver captives and to preach good news in every corner of the earth. We will stand as children of the promise. We will fix our eyes on him, our soul's reward, till the race is finished and the work is done. mountain shall be moved, and the power of the gospel shall prevail. For we know in Christ all things are possible for all who call upon his name. We will stand as children of the promise. We will fix our eyes on him, our soul's reward, till the race is finished and the work is done. We'll walk by faith and not by sight. We will stand as children of the promise. We will fix our eyes on him, our soul's reward, till the race is finished and the work is done. We'll walk by faith and not by sight.
I don't know what kind of week you've had, but God does. And as his body, the church, it is good for us to recognise that some of us or all of us have made a mistake or two that we know God wants to forgive us for. So let us now say sorry for them together, supporting each other in this prayer of confession. Please say the words in bold. For the times we dash haphazardly into your presence, finding it hard to leave behind our cares and worries. Forgive us, good Lord, and make us new. For the times when we don't learn from our experiences, forgive us, good Lord, and make us new. For the times when we don't take care of ourselves or the people we share our lives with, forgive us, good Lord, and make us new. For the times we don't see what you want us to see and just take things at face value, forgive us, good Lord, and make us new. For the times when we want our seed planted in neat rows, when our own plans become more important than yours, rather than letting the Holy Spirit prepare the soil of our lives and blow where the Spirit wants to. Forgive us, good Lord, and make us new. Amen. Now, over to Jamie for this week's Bible reading, after which I will seek to open God's word for us in the sermon.
Good morning, everybody. Today's reading is taken from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9 and 18 to 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown.
Before I begin, let us pray. Dear Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Today's reading falls into two parts. The first part is a parable that Jesus told to many people. We don't know who was there exactly, but there would have been, I think, a rather mixed bag of listeners that day, just as there had been on previous days. From random passers-by, attracted more by the buzz of a crowd gathered rather than who was speaking. Perhaps some of them came to take a quick look. After all, they had heard that a new prophet was in town with a message from God. So why not hear what he had to say? Of course, there would also be those who had heard Jesus speaking before, and what he'd said then still rang in their ears today and was intriguing. So they came just one more time. You never know, they thought. Perhaps he'll heal someone again. Who knows, as I said, many people, anyone and everyone. And it's interesting to note that those who were following Jesus, they weren't in a season of rejoicing at that time. Opposition to him was on the rise. Grumblings were beginning to get louder and louder. Jesus' talk of the coming kingdom of God, his persistence in healing people left, right and centre, his attitude towards the outsiders, those people of ill repute, well, it was all just getting a bit too much for some. Even his mother, Mary, had tried to draw him away from his ministry because she was concerned for his health. Still, where was Jesus? Well, he was walking around Galilee, attracting a large crowd. And we know this because, well, because he had to sit on a boat offshore just to make sure everyone could hear and see him. Just as an aside, you know, he knew that just because people were turning up didn't mean that they were actually listening to a word he was saying. Let anyone with ears listen, he said, as they gathered around. Let anyone with ears listen. What a funny turn of phrase. I'm not sure if you are aware, but I have 4 children. Well, they're adults now, really. But when they were little, I was absolutely convinced that they all had problems with their hearing. No matter how loud I said it, no one heard me say, please pick up your coat. Can you put that toy away? Or words to that effect. It was so long ago, the exact phrasing escapes me now, but whenever I did say, it's tea time, there would be a thunderous noise as a stampede of little feet came hurtling towards my voice. Amazing, isn't it? What you can hear when you want to, and what is completely blanked out when you don't. Let anyone with ears listen. And so it was with the words that Jesus scattered like seeds to the crowds that day by the shore of Galilee. Parable after parable he spoke, 7 or 8 in total. Not just this one, but the parable of the sower. But just like the seeds scattered in that story, some people did not hear a word that was said, not deep down in their hearts anyway. It was snatched away before it even had time to find a good spot to land, let alone germinate. Others heard and were very excited, but when their friends and family heard their good news, they were laughed at, and therefore were burnt by those negative responses, allowing the words to burn away to nothing. Others heard, got incredibly excited and thought, wow, how amazing. God loves me and I can live a new life in him through what Jesus has taught me. Such a plethora of responses to the same message. The kingdom of God has come. And then we come to the second part of our reading. I find it quite easy to see the connection between this parable and the explanation that Jesus gives, because we see it today as well. When people are told the gospel message, similar reactions occur. No reaction. An excited reaction that gets snuffed out quickly. Some initial interest in God, but then stuff happens. Bills start dropping on the doormat, or your friend's ill and not getting better. Well, where's God then? You might ask. Then you switch on the news, and the world is united in pandemic but divided on their approach to it. The body count is rising in some nations, negligible in others. And a vaccine is coming? Is not coming? Tests help, don't help. Stay safe, keep apart, Let's get together in bubbles. But who's in my bubble? Then it gets difficult to see the beauty of God's love. Thorny issues crowd out Jesus' words, and it's hard to hear him through the noise of our world. Or perhaps we see the rocks of life preventing our small roots of faith digging deeper into the good soil, inhibiting growth. And so our faith becomes stunted, a limited plant of Christian living. Just getting by, but never able to do more than exist. We never blossom into the beings God intended us to be, let alone produce tons of fruit, like you see in the seed that was scattered into the good soil. How lovely it would be if everyone who heard the word of God's kingdom had no things to get in their way. But let me challenge you. When you listen to the parable of the sower, do you think that you need to wait just a bit longer until you're sorted or in a better place, when life is less rocky and thorny? Maybe then, you think, I can take Jesus' words on board and action them. Perhaps that is you today, waiting, crouched on a rock, choked by metaphorical weeds, scratched and hurting by the thorns of a situation that grieves you. You're hearing, but you can't possibly listen right now. But one day you'll be in the good soil, and then all Jesus has to offer me will land and I will grow. I will mature, I will be fruitful in this kingdom of God that Natasha is talking about. Really? Do you not have ears to hear? The seed was scattered far and wide, lavishly, indiscriminately. Jesus does not discriminate or apportion where his words fall. His words shower over us and land on us regardless. It doesn't matter if our lives look like they contain nothing but rocks or weeds. It does not matter that our souls have the look of the parable's path, all compacted and impenetrable. No, Jesus said, let anyone with ears listen. I wonder where you are in this story of the sower. Parables are strange things. Quite often we think, or rather hope, that we understand what Jesus is trying to say. But actually, unless the Holy Spirit moves within us, it's hard to be sure that we really get it, really understand what Jesus was saying. But here in Matthew's Gospel, we get an explanation, which is rather helpful, I think. Verses 18 to 23. Jesus explains the parable. Yet it has to be noted that he doesn't explain it to the general crowd. By this point, they've all gone. The explanation comes to the disciples, because for them, regardless of where the seeds of faith have fallen, they have borne much fruit, because their time with Jesus had enabled them to hear and to understand. Which got me wondering, something quite remarkable must have happened to them, otherwise they would have remained with the crowd. I wonder what changed for them. The scattered seeds are the words spoken about the kingdom that is to come. Now, as a good first century Jew, you would have known exactly what that meant. God had promised through his prophets, in what is now our Old Testament, that reconciliation would happen. The relationship between God and his people would be restored. All that had been lost when they had gone into exile, their land, their rule, their time of blessing, it would be restored. The kingdom of God would come again, and everyone would expect to find themselves back in a right relationship with God. So when Jesus spoke of seeds being scattered, it was easy for the disciples to make the connection. He was talking about God's kingdom coming, and that meant reconciliation. A fresh start was on the cards for those who had ears, and the seed scatterer was Jesus. So what about us here today? Many of us here have heard about the kingdom of God, and unlike those first century Jews on that day in Galilee, we know the price Jesus paid for our reconciliation to God. He suffered death on the cross, and he did that so anyone with ears could come back into a right relationship with God through the word, Jesus. But that's not the end of the story. I found an interesting thing when I was doing some research for this sermon today. The local farmers in Galilee used to scatter seed all over the field before they ploughed them. It ended up everywhere. If it had landed in one soil type, be it hard, rocky, thorny or good, it might not necessarily stay there. Sure, the hard soil was the riskiest. Birds love seeds, and Satan loves picking off an easy target. But for me, this little nugget of information gave me hope. Hope that those who have ears to listen are not those that are exclusively in the good soil. Like us as a church today, online at St Giles, in St Andrews, we are scattered anywhere and everywhere. But we are listening. We are listening to Jesus. The trials and tribulations of life have not stopped us meeting with the seed thrower, our Saviour, Christ. When we meet him, he shows us the way to the kingdom of God, regardless of where we are, physically or emotionally, be it in a good place or in the thorns of life, or even when we are trying our best to grow in our relationship with him, but the rocks of life stunt our growth. Jesus doesn't care where he meets us or where we are when we receive the words of the kingdom. What he does care about is how we respond once he, the seed scatterer, has churned us all up inside and the seed has had a chance to move, perhaps to that good soil that produces abundant life, abundant fruit. For the farmer ploughs the field after they have scattered, remember? So here we have in the parable of the sower, a story from Jesus that he says teaches that there can be different responses to one and the same message. How would you like to respond today? Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, pour afresh on me. Amen. Last week at St Andrews, in response to Tina's talk, we asked God some questions, writing them down on pieces of paper. And I said to everyone present that I would take the questions away and seek some answers. One person asked, "God, where is everyone?" And the response to that was, "Well, where are you?" Take a look at this picture of a swimming pool on your service sheet and see if you can see yourself there. Are you the one on the diving board, diving off into the living water of Christ? Or are you stood staring in at the activity on the sidelines? Or perhaps you're the one dipping your toe into the water, armbands pumped, testing Christianity out to see if it's just right for you. Take your time with this image, and if you need to, save the PDF so you can look at it some more later on. But in the meantime, we now have another song of praise to our God. Feel free to join in using the words on the service sheet or continue to look at this picture of the swimming pool of faith and ponder. Where are you?
There is a sound I love to hear. It's the sound of the Savior's robe as he walks into the room where people pray, where we hear praises, he hears faith.
is the sound of the Savior's robe as he walks into the room where people pray, where we hear worship. He hears faith. Awake my soul and sing, sing his praise aloud, sing his praise aloud. Oh, awake my soul and sing, sing his praise aloud, sing his praise
you found that a useful activity. And so to our creed, let us declare our faith in God. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our intercessions this week have been prepared by Richard Beckinsale. Thank you, Richard, and over to you.
The response to our prayers this morning, when I say, "In you, O Lord," you respond, "Do we put our trust?" Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promise through your Son Jesus Christ to hear us when we pray in faith. Father, we thank you for the life of Christ and for his ministry, to those he met and for that he demonstrated the joy and freedom you want everyone to experience. We thank you for those he healed who became examples of the wholeness of life he has made possible for everyone who trusts in him. We thank you, Lord, for the leaders of our church, who during these recent times have kept us refreshed in both body and spirit, helping us to feel free in the spirit, even whilst we are locked down in the body. In you, O Lord, do we put our trust. Dear Lord, we thank you for the ministers of our government, whom we freely elected to lead us, and who've had to make the difficult decisions to restrict our freedom so that we might soon survive the virus and become free again to live the lives we wish to. We give thanks, Lord, for all in the National Health Service, in the care community, who have selfishly given their time, their skill, and sometimes their life, so that we will also live to have that freedom. In you, O Lord, do we put our trust. Father, we pray for all in our community who in these difficult times have not only coped with their own troubles, but have stepped forward to help others who have needed support. We give thanks for those who have been enabled to continue to work. The farmers as they continue to harvest their crops, workers in the factories filling cans, baking bread and producing drinks, so that our shops have supplies. In you, O Lord, do we put our trust. We pray for those in special need. Father, we think of all those who during these recent months have had to live in isolation, those who often have no one to talk to for days, those with no one with whom to share their hopes and fears, their worries and concerns, their smiles and their tears. We continue to pray for those known to us personally who are struggling with ill health or financial problems or other concerns about their future. In you, O Lord, do we put our trust. We remember those who have died and we pray for the bereaved. For us and all those who mourn the passing of a dear one, give them the peace that passes all understanding. They will not be forgotten, and their memories will be with us forever. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
The Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our collect for this week. Almighty God, send down upon your church the riches of your Spirit, and kindle in all who minister the gospel your countless gifts of grace. Through Jesus Christ your Lord. Amen. As we draw this act of worship to a close, let us sing together one final song.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless faith, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live.
Final prayer. Lord God, the world outside awaits us with all its troubles and uncertainties, but also with its opportunities. Send us out now in your name to look consciously for ways to see you in the world around and to act accordingly. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. Keep safe and God bless.